did. If you have a Bible with you, we're going to do scripture reading, John chapter 10. If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to John chapter 10, 1, 2, 3. John chapter 10, verses 1, 2, 3. And after I read it, as you follow along, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond together by saying, thanks be to God. And you could have your seat. So if you could all rise, if you're able, all rise. If you're watching online, also if you could rise, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. This is God's word to us on this glorious day, Resurrection Sunday. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may have a seat. If you could join me in prayer online, if you're watching, if you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, we have once again read not words of man. These are the very vocal cords of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. These are your words. So we need your help now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the truth, the gospel truth centered on your Son, who he is and what he has come to do. Make that clear for us now, I pray, that we might enter through the right door, leading us to eternal life. Help us now. Be our teacher. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of gospels out there that approach the message of Christ from the wrong direction. That's why it seems like what Jesus says in John chapter 10, Jesus says there is a way of getting into the fold the wrong way. In other words, there's only one correct way to understand what Jesus has come to do. And since there are millions of wrong opinions about the Christ, I want to spend the next few minutes focusing on the truth of the matter. The title of the message is called A Simple Gospel. And there are four critical things in the simple gospel in the Bible. If you have any hope to understand and to be resurrected from the dead to eternal life, so please listen carefully. Four critical things in the simple gospel. Number one, first, we have to understand who Jesus is. He is the eternal Son of God. He is part of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. He is fully God, which means he is divine, eternal, at one with the Father, empowered with the Spirit. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 says this. Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." John chapter 20, 31. Look what he says here. "But these are written in the gospel," the book of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Or 1 John chapter 2, 22 and 23. 1 John chapter 2, 22 to 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And that's what today in our Resurrection Sunday celebration of the baptism, two baptisms in the English service and the Chinese service, that's their confession. Confession of the Son of God also has the Father also. So first, we have to understand who this Jesus is. He is the eternal Son of God. Number two, second thing that we need to understand in the simple gospel is that the Son of God, this eternal Son of God, became a man like us. Only this man was what God has wanted all of us to be from the beginning. Only Jesus the Christ was a perfect human being, which we actually sang, perfect sacrifice, perfect Son of Man. Only Jesus the Christ was a perfect human being, as God defines what a perfect human being is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. The reason he's able to sympathize with us is because he became a man, fully God. But one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, and look at this phrase, yet without sin. Look what he says in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Here is the perfect man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, not some of your heart, all, with all your soul, with all your mind. I mean, what kind of man is able to do with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength? And this is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus, the man, loved God completely and perfectly. And Jesus, the man, loved others, neighbors, completely and perfectly. If Jesus' righteousness was perfect, achieving the Father's infinite standards. And it is when someone, in the light of this fact about who this Jesus is, when someone is seeking God, sees Christ in this light, eternal Son of God, and the Son became a man, suddenly he or she realizes that here at last is proof, my hope, that there is a human being can be exactly what God requires. Here is a perfect Son that we were all supposed to be, and that you and I failed so miserably to achieve by comparison. Jesus was the second Adam, the Bible says. The first of the new race of men and women who will be like him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as by a man came death, which is first Adam, by a man also come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam Jesus became a life-giving spirit. It is crucial in the simple gospel for you to understand this, that Jesus, the difference between you and Jesus, and also to understand that Jesus alone addressed the fundamental problem of the human race and the very things that is keeping you from God and life. And the only acceptable reaction to this is a heartfelt plea. I want to be like Him. This is what I want to be. Like this perfect man, Jesus. If you can't say that, those who are listening online and right now, if you can't say that, this is Jesus is the kind of a man that I want to be, then you are not a candidate for heaven. You will instead spend eternity with the Father that you apparently do love, the devil. Third, we have now a new problem in our hands, but also Jesus came to solve that one also. I mean, how are we possibly going to be like this glorious man, Jesus? Right? Perfect in every way. To love God with all our hearts and might and strength and love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, you and I have, if we're honest with ourselves, a filthy history of sin on our record, don't we? Since birth, we've been amassing an alarming list of crimes against the God, the King, whether you know that or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. No human being is able to stand before a holy God and plead innocence. Especially as you stand before the Son of God, so perfect by comparison. It'll be a simple matter that this one is a sinner. You and I are sinner by comparing us to Jesus, the perfect man, filled with sin, rebellion in our hearts and mind from birth, therefore useless to God in eternity. He or she is not like my son. Now everyone knows that Jesus, I think everyone here knows that Jesus came to die for sinners. I mean, that is really a part of every version of the gospel that is preached, isn't it? What everyone doesn't know is a sudden insight of the very few who have, in desperation over their sinful state, convicted of their sinful state, and then reach out for God for help in the face of threat of eternal punishment. When you look at Jesus hanging on the cross, they see something that they have never seen before. This is my God. That is my God. It comes personal, deeply personal to you. I am that sinner. that Jesus came to save. In a willing sacrifice of true love, the Son took my punishment. Not just punishment for sinners out there or punishment for the world. Jesus took my punishment. It comes personal, close to you. God loves me. Not just God loves the world, God loves me. He sent Jesus to rescue me. It is a gift to me. It is no longer that Jesus died for all sinners and the world, but he comes deep and close and personal to you. This staggering realization, they fall on their knees in amazement that all their sins have been completely removed by Christ's death on the cross. With no effort on their part, forever. Absolutely incredible. And number four, which is the last critical step of true faith, sees in Jesus. Now, in order for us to understand this last critical step, you have to understand again that God still doesn't approve of us. Remember, he only approves of his Son. The eternal Son, the eternal man, perfect man. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. I think this really is the middle of the Bible, of history, of humankind. Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. You see the Spirit? You see the Trinity at work here? And look at what he says. Look at what the Father says. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom, what? I am well pleased with young. Pleased with Sam? Pleased with Darren? Who's getting baptized? Or Jonathan? It doesn't say that. I am pleased with my Son. So what God does is another staggering move in history. God does the impossible and brings you and me and his Son together into one man called the body of Christ. When he does this, it's impossible. The body of Christ will then be raised from this world, from the dead, which we are celebrating this morning, to live with the Father forever in heaven. By the power of the Spirit, we will be made one with the perfect Son. And now, because we're made one with Jesus, this perfect man, we now finally are pleasing to God. The simple gospel is Jesus is eternal Son. The Son of God became man like us. Jesus came to die for me, a gift to me. Jesus loves me. Comes personal to you. And fourth, we are made one with the Son. That is the gospel, the simple gospel that you must know and believe to be resurrected from the dead, just like Jesus, and live with God in heaven, just like Jesus, forever. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, whether we like it or not, whether we know this or not, whether we are children of God through Jesus, the perfect man, or we are children of Satan, there is no middle ground. There is no third person. Father in heaven, you have spoken your truth to the people in this sitting here in this pew and those who are listening online. Have mercy. May these truths that's revealed in your word not only give them truth in their heads, but change them forever. Not just the truth outside, but make it personal. Convict sinners, I pray. Have mercy. Do that miracle. If there's anyone here in this room that only profess Jesus, and not become personal. Deeply, utterly, to the core of their being. Only you are able to do this. May you glorify yourself now, I pray. As you have done with 3 souls in our church, as we celebrate now the baptism, the work that your Son, through your Spirit, of the foreordination of the Father from all eternity, oh God. May you receive all glory now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. And all of God's people said,